Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 1171 of the Juice Box Podcast. This is part two of my pump and CGM overview. Part one is at episode 1166. Today, Jenny Smith and I are going to be talking more about CGMs and pumps, overviewing everything that we could find on the internet to talk about. Nothing you hear on the Juice Box Podcast should be considered advice, medical or otherwise. Always consult a physician before making any changes to your healthcare plan. If you're not already subscribed or following in your favorite audio app, please take the time now to do that. It really helps the show. And get those automatic downloads set up so you never miss an episode. Don't forget to save 40% off of your entire order at CozyEarth.com. All you have to do is use the offer code JUICEBOX at checkout. That's JUICEBOX at checkout to save 40% at CozyEarth.com. If you're a U.S. resident who has type 1 diabetes or is the caregiver of someone with type 1, please do me a favor and go to t1dexchange.org/juicebox and complete the survey. Every time you do that, you're helping with type 1 research, you're supporting the show, and you might just be helping yourself. t1dexchange.org/juicebox. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by AG1. drinkag1.com/juicebox. Head there now to learn more about AG1. It's vegan-friendly, gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, no sugar added, no artificial sweeteners. And when you make your first order with my link, you're going to get AG1 and a welcome kit that includes a shaker, scoop, and canister. You're also going to get 5 free travel packs and a year's supply of vitamin D with that first order at drinkag1.com/juicebox. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by Dexcom. Dexcom.com/juicebox. Get the brand new Dexcom G7 with my link and get started today. Today's episode is sponsored by Medtronic Diabetes, a company that's bringing people together to redefine what it means to live with diabetes. Later in this episode, I'll be speaking with Jalen. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 14. He's 29 now. He's going to tell you a little bit about his story. And then later at the end of this episode, you can hear my entire conversation with Jalen. To hear more stories with Medtronic champions, go to MedtronicDiabetes.com/juicebox or search the hashtag Medtronic Champion on your favorite social media platform. Jennifer, We are back to finish up our insulin pump conversation, part two.
Yay.
And we're going to go over some CGMs at the end. So far, we've talked about manual pumps. We went over Omnipod 5, Medtronic's offering, and Tandem Control IQ in the X2. As far as automated, today we're going to talk about iLet and then the new Mobi pump again from Tandem. So let's start with iLet, actually.
Yay. Cool.
Tubed pump.
Correct.
Right. But the way that it wants to work is, I would say, completely different from all the other automated systems that are currently available. That's fair, right?
That is 100% fair. Automated, yeah. Tubed, but definitely automated very differently than any of the other systems.
Yeah. Yes. And here's why. It doesn't really want you to be involved.
That's a good way to describe it.
I mean, right? It doesn't want you to be involved. That's the idea here, is Beta Bionics made a pump. In my opinion, look, I'm not speaking for them. I did interview Ed from Beta Bionics for a couple of hours when it first came out. And the vibe I got from them was, there are people out there who are going to use DIY algorithms, and they are going to get their A1Cs into the low fives. They're not going to see an excursion above 140. These people are they're dialed in, right?
Right.
And there's people who will use other automated systems, have nice A1Cs and the sixes, they'll put some effort into it here and there. We want to make an automated system, I felt like he was saying, for people who do not want to be involved in their diabetes, or people who, doesn't matter how much they've tried, they just can't find success. And so we wanted to help these people who are running around with 9, 10, 11. I know some people find it hard to believe there's people running around with 12 and 13 A1Cs, right?
Correct.
We want to put a thing on them, gives them an A1C in the sevens.
Right. Yes.
And I thought that was really cool. So tell me how it works, because it's pretty basic, right?
It is pretty basic. And I would also say that while it's a pump that doesn't really want the user to do much, the user still clearly has to do some things. I mean, it's not going to fill the insulin or pop the tubing, you know, the infusion site. So there's obviously those basic things.
Call your brother on his birthday.
Correct. Yes. They won't do fancy things for you. Right. But you still do have to acknowledge when you're eating. The nice thing is that there's no calculation to what you're eating. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, that population who is really looking for some assistance in navigating because they can't do what the do-it-yourselfers are doing or those on other automated systems that can tweak and adjust and really are into paying more attention, I guess.
Yeah.
This system really is just like, hey, tell me when you're going to eat food. Mm-hmm. And how much? Is it about the same as you would normally eat, your standard meal size? Is it less than that? Thinking like snack size, so to speak,
right.
Or is it like you're sitting down to the Super Bowl meal, right?
If I recall the way he explained it to me, it was you tell the pump, this is breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Correct.
And then you tell it this is a average, smaller than average, or larger than average portion.
Right. Normal for you.
For you.
Less than normal, larger than normal. Exactly.
And when you set the pump up, you tell it how much you weigh, and that's it.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So you don't have a carb ratio, basal rates, correction factors, and you don't have to count carbs.
Correct. There is no carbohydrate counting. I do think, though, from what I see as far as what the system could do better for you as it adapts and adjusts those insulin delivery kind of amounts, is if you at least have an idea of approximately how many carbs are at your average meal, you again, individually, not the average person, but you. Let's say you've got a big appetite or you have a lot of energy expenditure and your average meal is pretty big, mm-hmm. big, not for you, but big, you know, according to others. Maybe it's 60 grams of carb is your average meal. If you at least have an idea of about how much you're eating, it gives you an easier idea of navigating, this is definitely smaller than I usually eat,
right.
Or this is much more than I would usually eat.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going to have somebody, I mean, eventually I'll find somebody that's using the pump that be on the show, but it's pretty new still. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think I've bumped into five people who say they're using it. I also can't make a correction with it, right? Like I can't look at my blood sugar at 250 and go, I really wish I had more insulin. It's just doing what it's doing.
Corrections. Yep. Yeah. No calculating boluses on the user's part. That's all the pump's sort of driven, adjusted kind of
right.
doses, right?
Yeah. This is a pump that I think there are a segment of people who are going to hear about it and think, I do not want that. I want control. I want to do what I don't want a 7A1C.
Right.
And I think there are probably more people who are going to hear it and go, are you kidding me? Like, give me that.
Yes.
You know, like, so nothing's for everybody. This one's more specifically, obviously not for one segment of people. Do you know what I mean? Like there's like,
correct.
I can make an argument for X2, for Medtronic, for Omnipod 5, for anybody. I could say, hey, here's why this would help you. Right. And here's reasons where it won't help you.
Right.
This one's more cut and dry. I think it's more about your goals and or the ability you have to do this. Because I think I said earlier, people who don't want to like try as hard, but I don't think that's it. Like, I think it's, what if I'm trying as hard as I can? I just don't get it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I never figure out diabetes. What, am I damned to live forever with a 12A1C because I can't figure this out?
No. Right. Absolutely. Or that you don't have somebody they're assisting in teaching you what you could do a little bit better, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a system like this also, because it is body weight initially driven in what it starts with in insulin delivery amounts.
Yeah.
In general, again, along with meal entry being small, medium, large kind mm-hmm. of entries, I think most people, regardless of their education level, are going to very easily be able to determine,
yeah.
well, this is a normal meal.
I mean, on top of my head, if you're sending a kid off to college and you think they are not going to take care of themselves, this seems like a pretty good idea there. Like that kind right. of stuff. Now, I want to be clear. I don't have trouble with it, and I'm not judging anybody. But if you told me my daughter's A1C was 7.5, I'd be like, what are we doing wrong? I got to fix this. So, you know, that's the consideration. BetaBionics.com, it's the pump's called iLet. It's a very simple marketing plan, which tells you how simple the pump is. The front page just says, the iLet is an automated insulin delivery system that reduces the need to make decisions about your diabetes management because it makes the decisions for you. Mm-hmm. There's no more carb counting, correction factors, carb ratios, preset basal rates, or any other settings that might be overwhelming about other insulin delivery devices. And that's it.
Correct.
The iLet just needs one number, your weight. That's the end of the website.
Right.
So, you know.
There are some minor adjustables in terms of.
It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for the last few years, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their respective fields. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it is tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional basis and setting myself up for success in just 60 seconds. I love that every scoop of AG1 is full of quality ingredients, like folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/juicebox. That's drinkag1.com/juicebox. Check it out. Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dexcom, and I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about the continuous glucose monitor that my daughter wears, the Dexcom G7. The Dexcom G7 is small, it is accurate, and it is easy to use and wear. Arden has been wearing a Dexcom G7 since almost day one of when they came out, and she's having a fantastic experience with it. We love the G6. But man, is the G7 small. The profile, so much closer to your body. The weight, you can't really feel it. And that's coming from me, and I've worn one. I've worn a G6, I've worn a G7. I found both of the experiences to be lovely, but my gosh, is that G7 tiny. And the accuracy has been fantastic. Arden's A1Cs are right where we expect them to be, and we actually use the Dexcom Clarity app to keep track of those things. That app is built right in to Arden's Dexcom G7 app on her iPhone. Oh, did you not know about that? You can use an iPhone or an Android device to see your Dexcom data. If you have a compatible phone, your Dexcom goes right to the Dexcom app. You don't have to carry the receiver. But if you don't want to use the phone, that's fine. Use the Dexcom receiver. It's up to you. Choice is yours with Dexcom. Dexcom.com/juicebox.
Containing things a little bit more or giving it a little bit more wiggle room, and it's really targets, right? Those, there are some adjustable targets within the pump in order for what it's aiming for, because it does work with CGM, obviously, as an automated kind of algorithm.
Yeah.
The one place I would say that in looking at all automated types of systems and even manual systems, I think they all fall short in terms of exercise and navigating the right adjustment. I think this system by far has some things that somebody really needs to sit down if they do exercise or they're going to start to do some type of exercise. They really need to sit down with somebody who knows the system and knows how it works in that capacity to give some starting sort of adjustments, whether it's taking no bolus or taking a small snack that you don't cover or tell the system about, or even, you know, I mean, I hesitate to say disconnecting, but honestly, sometimes for a system like this, there's no exercise setting.
So is this coming from like conversations you've had with people using it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to guess that because it's so inspecific about what it's doing to some degree, if you're a fairly sedentary person for 20 hours a day and then go for a run, you're going to get low. Or a person who just like works out on the weekends or something like that. It's no different, but more aggressive than when you hear people talk about like, oh, my kid you know, just goes to school Monday through Friday. They get up, they walk, they sit down, that's it. Then on the weekends, soccer practice, and oh my God, we're fighting Lowe's all weekend. But we're on Omnipod 5. I don't understand why that's happening.
Right.
It's happening because for 5 days in a row, the pump's been helping a sedentary child. Now all of a sudden you're running around.
Right.
But you think your experience, this is a little, I don't want to say worse, but a little bigger of an issue?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. I wouldn't say worse, but I would say there are definite differences in how to accommodate for planned exercise, and planned being the optimal word for this system.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, all of them, it works better if you're planning something and you can adjust ahead of time, but this definitely, you have to have an idea that activity is coming, or just plan to feed insulin.
Right.
Because you haven't adjusted.
People don't, not everybody, but a lot of people don't think about activity as a variable for their diabetes.
Right.
And, you know, you should. You should think of, you know, if you are steadily active all week long at one activity level, you're going to see, you know, less insulin resistance. You know, your insulin's going to work better.
Right.
And I do think it's important to bring up, because in the discussions of these, like, different pumps, if you hear any one of them and think, oh, Idelic, I got it, that's the right one, you misheard. Because they all have speed bumps. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing's perfect at this point.
Right.
I'm going to do a conversation about, you know, Loop and IAPS and stuff like that at some point down the road to kind of bundle onto this. But they're not perfect.
No.
This morning, Arden's like, I'm sleeping in. I have one day off. She's had a head cold at school, like, forever. She's on IAPS right now. I had to wake her up at 8:30 in the morning. I'm like, hey, you're low.
Right.
You know, like, so, and it tried. I saw it, took her basal away for 2 hours. It tried,
right.
But yeah, it is what it is. Okay. So iLet Beta Bionics. Now the Tandem Mobi is a brand new pump.
Correct.
This one's interesting. I don't know a lot about patent law. This one makes me think we wanted it to be like an Omnipod, but we couldn't make it tubeless. So we put a really short piece of tubing on it. I don't know. Like, this one baffles me a little bit. You tell me where's the use case for this? Because it's still a tube pump.
It is a tube pump. And I think that it fills the need for, like, how many people have you heard comment, even in your online community, right? About, I love my Omnipod, but I really wish there was a time that I could disconnect it and then just put it back on.
Without restarting a new one.
Without restarting a new one, without losing all of that insulin, without dealing with a new pod start site, et cetera, et cetera. This is where that fits the bill. And quite honestly, the little device is smaller than a pod.
Oh, it's teeny. I'm looking at
it's
it here.
Teeny tiny.
I mean, it's a marketing picture, but it's a little bigger than maybe 4.5, like, flat quarters laid together. Like, maybe if you put 4 quarters and a little more. It's like, and I mean, like, it's east to west, north to south. I don't know about the thickness of it.
Yeah. The thickness of it, if I remember correctly, I've seen it only in, like, handheld person once. Mm-hmm. It is not as thick as a pod, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And it is definitely, like, shorter from top of pod to bottom of pod. It is definitely shorter than a pod is. It holds 200 units of insulin. So for those, I mean, if we're talking about best use versus consider maybe something else, or how could I use this? Mm-hmm. Again, 200 units of insulin for somebody who really is going through heavy, heavy doses of insulin. It either means you're going to change the reservoir more often, right? Or you choose something that's got a bigger reservoir to it. Okay. I mean, pods themselves only hold 200 too.
Yeah. I'm looking at the marketing here for the Mobi. It's interesting. Basically, they're saying, look, slip it in your pocket. So it's still a pump, but it's really teeny tiny. Or they say we have, like, an adhesive patch that you can slap on. It almost looks like it's a patch that goes on your skin that then it seems like it has, like, a loop on it. And then you would, like, slide it into the loop. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's like a pocket almost. If you imagine Omnipod with Omnipod's adhesive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of seeing the pod just sort of wobbly on the top of that adhesive, this actually has almost like a little, like a wrapper.
Yeah, it's another piece of, like, of that fabric that goes over top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what it reminds me of? You know the men's wallets now that are metal and the cards slide into them, but then there's a rubber strap over it to put your cash under?
Yes, my husband has one.
I do too. And I think that's what it reminds me of, like visually.
That's, Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think the other nice thing, as you said, it could be put in a pocket, mm-hmm. right? That allows you to actually have longer tubing. I mean, it does have really, really teeny tiny short tubing if you want to wear it with that patch piece like we were just talking about. Again, it offers the ability to wear it on the back of your arm if you would like, you know, with a little navigation of maybe taping down the tubing or whatever to keep it from sort of flopping around. But the other really great thing that is a big difference between it and the only other pod, there is a bolus button on the Mobi device. Mm-hmm. So if you do not have your phone, which drives the typical delivery and boluses and whatever else you're going to do with it,
right?
The bolus button right on the Mobi allows you to have a preset amount that gets delivered with the tap of that button. And it offers you the ability to also see that the delivery has gone through with vibration, okay. which is, it's nice. It's just a confirmatory, hey, this definitely worked. It went through. You don't have to worry.
It runs Control IQ too.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So you can run Control IQ with it. There's a button on it that you can say, hey, I want that button to do 2 units and like pre-program it if you want to give yourself like a turbo boost of insulin.
Yes.
But you need the phone to run the algorithm and that and otherwise. This episode is sponsored by Medtronic Diabetes. MedtronicDiabetes.com/juicebox. And now we're going to hear from Medtronic champion, Jalen.
I was going straight into high school. So it was a summer heading into high school.
Was that particularly difficult?
Unimaginable. You know, I missed my entire summer. So I was going to a brand new school. I was around a bunch of new people that I had not been going to school with. So it was hard trying to balance that while also explaining to people what type 1 diabetes was. My hometown did not have an endocrinologist, so I was traveling over an hour to the nearest endocrinologist for children. So, you know, outside of that, I didn't have any type of support in my hometown.
Did you try to explain to people, or did you find it easier just to stay private?
I honestly just held back. I didn't really like talking about it. It felt like it was just a repeating record where I was saying things and people weren't understanding it. And I also was still in the process of learning it. So I just kept it to myself, didn't really talk about it.
Did you eventually find people in real life that you could confide in?
I never really got the experience until after getting to college. And then once I graduated college, it's all I see. You know, you can easily search Medtronic champions. You see people that pop up and you're like, wow, look at all this content. And I think that's something that motivates me, started embracing more, you know, how I live with type 1 diabetes.
To hear Jalen's entire conversation, stay till the very end. MedtronicDiabetes.com/juicebox to hear more stories from the Medtronic champion community.
The algorithm, that's the interesting thing. So a lot of people have kind of asked if, well, what happens if my phone dies, right?
Yeah.
Does that just mean that I'm not getting anything, or what happens? And really, the algorithm continues to deliver with communication with the CGM, from what I understand.
Okay.
So the nice thing is that while the phone app is really your control device, 100%, extended boluses, if you're using it in manual mode, you'd only be able to use a temporary basal, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But that is a nice piece to know that the system keeps running for you, right?
It's funny. I see the value with each one of these as I look at them.
Yes.
Like, I really do. I think a downside to any device, I have to be honest, is if you have to charge it. That's one of the things that always throws me off a little bit. Like, so this Mobi looks like it has to be, it's wireless charging, but you're still going to have to flop it on a charger at some point.
Yes.
Yeah. Your Omnipod's not going to run out of a battery in the 3 days that you're using it. So.
No.
I mean, there's give and take, right? Like with all of these.
Right.
This is an interesting one, though. It really is. Yeah.
It is. I just got an email from, I'm a trainer in this area to kind of get fully trained on it. And I'm really excited. I'd kind of like to give it a try personally, because I think it's just an interesting new piece on the market of choice.
Yeah. Jenny's not trying this until it runs some do-it-yourself algorithm, but okay, whatever. I will tell you this. I know Arden really well. And obviously, Arden's been wearing it. I think I misspoke in the first half of it. Arden was diagnosed when she was 2. She started wearing a pump when she was 4 and an Omnipod. So when she was 2, it was 2006, which means she started to wear Omnipod, I think, in 2008. Anyway,
okay.
Neither here nor there. But if I showed this to Arden right now and explained all the good parts about it, she'd see the piece of tubing on it and go, I am not interested in this. Yeah. It's fascinating what happens to some people after you've worn a tubeless insulin pump.
Yeah.
You're just like, I don't care what the other thing does. I don't even want to hear about it. Like, it's interesting, you know?
I think that, too, this is really, while their typical T-Slim X2 can be worn under the clothes and now it's controllable by the app, so you technically don't really have to pull the pump out.
Right.
It's still a piece to navigate, where do I clip the pump? Where do I put it? Where do I hide it under my clothing? And mm-hmm. in this case, I mean, there are a lot of people who wear their pump sight on very different parts of their body than what are technically recommended sure. by the pump companies, right?
Yeah.
Kind of the upper area of the back. I know there are women and even men who wear it like on their chest or kind mm-hmm. of their upper breast tissue, right? This, it's another alternative to wearing something completely underneath clothing that you don't really even have tubing to deal with hanging out.
Well, that I can see for sure. Like, yes, there's tubing on it, but it looks like you could do a short piece to the infusion set and then use the tape thing to tape it to yourself. And then you kind of have that functionality of being tubeless, even though it's not quite.
The shortest tubing is 5 inches.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Jenny, I almost said that's a good size. Why would you make fun of five? No, I'm just kidding. But what I think about is back before all the Bluetooth headphones, right? That, you know, I mean, we're all on our phones. By the way, you should all day long be listening to the podcast on your phone. But back then there used to be, you'd have wired headphones. They'd kind of hook in your ears. The wire would go to your phone. And then you'd take your pants off in a bathroom, sit down. The wire would yank your iPod out of your pants and go bouncing across the bus station floor. Not that this has ever happened to me. And
I was going to say, that's very specific.
Very specific, yeah. And then you find yourself saying to a man that you don't know, could you kick that back here, please? And anyway, that's the one thing I worried about when I saw, oh, you can put it in your pocket. It's neat. But what happens when the distance, I stop thinking about it? You know what I mean?
Sure.
But and again, yeah. I'm guaranteeing people are going to use this pump. People are going to love it.
Yeah.
I think people love Control IQ, and a lot of people mm-hmm. have a lot of success with it. So it's another option for them.
Another group probably that may do better with something like this is maybe a group that has some dexterity types of issues because there really is a little bit less fiddling, right? If anybody takes a peek online, you can actually see that the reservoir in this is clear. Mm-hmm. You can see into it. You can tell if there are bubbles there or any issues. So that makes it, from a visibility, that's a big difference compared to the T-Slim pump, where the reservoir is entirely enclosed. You can't tell what's happening within the reservoir.
Right.
So, nice. And the fill process is really, I've seen the fill process only once. It's pretty darn easy. Mm-hmm. So
there you go. You got options. You got Omnipod 5, Medtronic 670G. Is that the latest one? 770G.
Yeah. 780G.
Jesus, with the numbering system. 780G.
I know.
Boy, if you got me into a marketing meeting at Medtronic, the first thing I would do is say, stop using numbers. It sounds so similar to each other.
Yes.
Tandem Control IQ on the X2. You're going to have Tandem Control IQ on the Mobi.
Mm-hmm.
Then the iLet, and then we don't have enough to say about it right now because it's not nearly available, but Roche is trying to get a pump into the market, right? AccuCheck Solo, is that right?
The Solo, correct. Although that will not be, unless there's something changing or something updated, there's no automation or CGM.
That's going to be one of the clicky pumps like we talked about in the manual thing. And then they have the AccuCheck Combo. That's a tubed pump, but is that available right now?
The AccuCheck Combo was here.
Or is this, am I looking at the wrong website?
It might be.
Hold on a second. Let me look. Let me make sure I'm saying the right thing. Roche pump.
I think the combo is.
Here's an article. Finally, Roche back in the insulin pump market. That's a hurtful one from an investor.
It has been a while ago because.
Right. They have something they're working on, but it's nowhere near. Like, you're not going to use it in the next couple of years. Okay.
No.
All right. So we'll see if they actually get back to that or not. But the FDA did approve the AccuCheck Solo tubeless patch pump, which is just like those other pumps we talked about where you push a button and you get a designated amount of insulin. I have it here. Solo.
Correct.
Adhesive pump holder. replace it every 3 days, adhesive infusion cannula, a disposable 200 unit reservoir, replaces every 4 days, a reusable pump base. Oh, okay. So you put the base on, then you click the thing on top of it. It does come with a handheld diabetes manager. Mm-hmm. Quick bolus button, transparent reservoir, which you said you thought was important. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. So anyway, if that's what you're looking for and you're not looking for automation, you could check those out. Let's go over CGMs at the end here.
Awesome.
All right. So there's Dexcom, there's Freestyle, and there's Eversense.
Correct.
That's all, right? Three for people using insulin. One, two, three. Yeah. The other ones are like bro science guys and like biohackers and stuff like that, right? Okay. Bro science guys.
For people who want to monitor their metrics, yeah, but don't have diabetes.
A very nice way of saying it. I think of guys with like so many abs, they look like they're moving onto their sides.
What's really funny about, so years ago, 2006, I think is when I first started wearing a CGM. Mm-hmm. And I had one that's not even on the market anymore. It was called the Navigator.
Yes.
And I loved it. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I had it on my arm and I was at the gym. I was running on the treadmill and a guy next to me, I could tell he kept like looking over at my arm. And I was like, after I finished, I went over and I was like, do you have questions? Can I help you with something? You know? And he said, I'm just curious if that's one of those new heart rate monitor, kind of evaluate your metrics again, mm-hmm, kind of devices. And I was like, I probably wouldn't be wearing that if I didn't have to. I said, this manages and, looks at my blood sugar, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, that's really, he was interested, obviously. Yeah. But yes, I think a lot of people used to question and now clearly don't.
Gotcha. So. All right. So before we start here, let me just say that Dexcom and Eversense are advertisers on the podcast. So I should say that out loud. And I should say to Freestyle, what are you waiting for? But so here's what we have. I'm going to start with Eversense because it's so much different than the others.
Okay.
So Eversense is an implantable CGM.
Yes.
That lasts 6 months. And so you'll need two a year.
Correct.
You go into a doctor's office. I've seen the procedure happen on video. I had to watch it to become like an advertiser. It takes literally 5 minutes, it seems like. It's a tiny little, like, they have a tool they give the doctor. It makes a little, like, barely an incision. They slip the thing underneath, butterfly bandage, holds it closed. You're on your way.
Yep.
Then this thing, then you wear a what do they call it?
It's a smart transmitter.
Yeah, transmitter over top of it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. It has sort of a silicon adhesive. So you're not dealing with those harsh adhesives because you change it every day. In fairness, it needs to be calibrated twice a day for like the first, I don't want to say this wrong, but like for the first few weeks, twice a day. And then after that, once a day you calibrate
it. Once a day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The sensor's under your skin.
Right.
And then you can set high and low alarms and it vibrates to tell you you're high or low when you get, that's kind of awesome. It's called on body vibe. Distinct on body vibe alerts when high or low. Right. Additionally, Eversense is the only CGM with on body vibrations to alert users' glucose fluctuations, which is beneficial while sleeping, driving, or otherwise unable to check mobile apps, devices. Yeah. Smart transmitter vibration patterns. Low glucose alert, 3 vibes, appears in yellow. High glucose alert, 1 vibe. It's pretty cool, man. I mean, like, it's under your skin. If you're going to your prom one day and you're like, I don't want to deal with this today,
you just take it off.
Throw it on the charger and wait and come back and pop it back on again. It does not currently pair with any automated pumps.
Correct.
And I don't know. I mean, they're a publicly traded company. They don't usually talk about stuff like this. I think they're interested in that happening. I don't know where they are in that process.
When or where, right? And they've been around for a really long time already.
It passed through a couple of hands, didn't it? Before Ascensia grabbed them. And
there's been a lot of change. But the great thing is that I think they've started to gain some ground, which is a good thing, especially considering the fact of changing. Yeah. I mean, people complain all the time about, oh, it's that day that I have to change everything out, right? This is really just, as you said, You go in, you get it popped under the skin. When it's done, you can get the sensor removed and pop in a new one and you go forward.
And the accuracy is good. I mean, it's not wildly different than what anybody else is offering. So, I mean, I know they all in their marketing are trying to, like, they talk about their MARD and stuff like that. And they try to get, like, you know, real specific. But if you look at those, they're all pretty
they're similar. All within a range of, and you know, like anybody, again, you'll see people comment all the time, this one didn't work for me, but this one worked really well for me. I mean, I've got several people who Dexcom really didn't work the greatest for them in terms of accuracy or reliability, and they chose to go with the Libre, and that one works really well for them. So
I just spoke to a woman online today who tried Libre and tried Dexcom, and she's like, it feels like my kid's body rejects them at like day six, like they just don't work anymore. I mean, that's not crazy for people with autoimmune issues who might have heightened immune responses, and you're sticking a thing in your arm. And, you know, now I don't know how that works with the Eversense. Obviously, I haven't dug into it enough yet. But if the filament from those other ones is what's bothering you, maybe this is your answer.
A solution.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, I can see for if you're not automated right now and you're just one of those kind of old school, like, you know, pen people, it's pretty awesome, because a lot of those pen people don't move to pumps because they don't like things connected to them. Mm-hmm. I don't know another way to put this, but like old school type ones, sometimes they fall into camps on wearing something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So maybe this is a way they can get a CGM and not have to have anything on them.
I think it's a nice way too for people to be able to evaluate something that has changed, a variable in their life that's been added. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't, like you just said, maybe they don't really want information or alerts or whatever all the time. But in certain scenarios, they really need some heightened awareness, or they need to relearn something about whatever's changed, right? It's a great way because it just sits under your skin and you pop on the transmitter when you want to wear it and get the information, and then you don't have to pop it on anymore.
Listen, always with the caveat, if you can afford it, if your insurance covers it, et cetera. But just from the perspective of a person who cares about people with diabetes, I wish you were all wearing a CGM. Like, I don't care how you get to it, if it's implantable or if it's a Libre or if it's a Dexcom. Like, I just think your life would be measurably better if you had one. Long-term health, especially.
I agree.
Short-term safety, long-term health, get a CGM. All right, what's the next one? You say Libre. What do Libre, I say? Libre.
Libre. I've heard it both ways, quite honestly. Yes.
Nothing better than picking a name that people can pronounce nine different ways. What do we got now? We're up to the Libre 3 now.
Yes.
Okay. What would you call it? Quarter size, maybe smaller, little sensor.
For those who are already using like Dexcom's G7, more comparable. It's definitely, it's flat. It's like quarter would be a good overall, like thickness and roundness.
Okay.
Quarter, nickel to quarter, kind of, yes.
Yep. Are they calling the Libre 3 is a 14-day wear at this point? Is that right? Yeah, Freestyle 14 Libre 14-day system? Yes,
14.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's Libre 2, there's Libre 3. They pair with, I mean, at this point, let's go over it. Libre works with what pumps as far as automation goes?
Yeah, as far as automation, Libre definitely works with the do-it-yourself systems.
Yeah.
And is it definite? I mean, it's not Medtronic. They have their own proprietary sensor.
They're not letting anybody.
Obviously, they don't. Yeah. It does not work with Omnipod 5.
Right.
And if it works with, does it work with Control IQ yet?
Control IQ.
I'm trying to remember. I knew something was in the works.
I don't think so yet.
Yet?
Yep. So, but I think they're actually working towards it, though.
They are. I mean, that all goes into that line of interoperability, right? Companies have made their systems designated as interoperable, which means that at some point in the future, you would get to pick and choose your system. I want to use this pump, but I want to use this CGM because this one is what works best for me. So to have those choices down the road, that's the hope.
I'm on Tandem's website. Tandem Diabetes Care Plus Freestyle Libre 2 Plus. Well, okay. So they're showing me it working with the X2
pump. Libre 2.
The Libre 2 does, not the Libre 3. Okay.
Not the Libre 3.
Why? What in the? Again.
They have multiple.
Yeah. Why is everything so confusing? Yeah. I don't button that. Right? I mean, why would two people who know as much about this as anyone else be sitting around going, I don't know, maybe, does it? Like, it's all over the place. You know what I mean?
Well, that's where the confusing things come in. And then they all end up having sort of like different actions. They work for or last for this amount of time versus 14 days, 7 days, 10 days, 14 days. This one does give you alerts without having to actually hold the device over it and wave a wand and chant some magic something or another, right?
See, even that at this point is something people aren't going to know. When the first Libre came out, like it wasn't really a continuous glucose monitor. It was a glucose monitor that you had to hold a device to get your reading. So it was basically like checking your finger without poking your finger.
But it also gave trends.
But it would show you the trends then. Yeah.
Correct.
So it starts like that. Also here, it looks like the Libre 2 Plus is a 15-day wear. So one's a 14, one's a 15, one's a 10. Like, how am I supposed to keep up with all this? The naming systems with Medtronic, 670, 770, 780. 70. Jenny, if you put me in charge, everything would be so easy.
I have not said before that I don't know if anybody would live in the land of Jenny. Because
things wouldn't be this hard.
Jenny's rules would be very straightforward. We were doing this.
I remember 2 years, Omnipod was like, we're going to come out with the Omnipod Horizon. It's going to be, and then one day they were like, it's the Omnipod 5. And I was like, what happened?
Right. Yes. It was, and it's still, sometimes I even run across the Horizon still being like mentioned somewhere. And I was like, well, we're kind of beyond that. We know what it's called now, but.
Let me be clear with everybody. iPhone, iPhone 2, iPhone 3, iPhone 4, iPhone 5, iPhone 6. See how easy it is? The biggest number is the latest one. All done. Like one time they tried SE and then they were like, stop it. Don't do that. Oh my God. Anyway, I'm not coming down on anybody. You guys make amazing products. So why do I care? So is what's the biggest difference between Dexcom and Libre? Is that Dexcom has interoperability with all these pumps? Is that
correct? Outside of, like you just said, the Libre 2 Plus has interoperability, obviously, with the X2 and, you know, system and Control IQ. Outside of that, there are no other sensors. I mean, again, we'll get to Medtronic, but that's, again, a proprietary type of use.
So, Jenny, like, just being honest, right? What's the I know their marketing's all going to say, we're accurate, we're this, we're that. Like, what is the real difference? Like, you talk to people every day who use both of these. Like, you use a Dexcom. Do you use a Dexcom because it works with the thing you use, or do you use it because you prefer?
Yes.
You don't prefer Dexcom over Libre?
I do. So my personal, my N of one, and I haven't tried the new. So I have not used a Libre 3. I don't know its accuracy for me. The earlier versions of Libre, just like Medtronic's sensor, early versions, they were not accurate for me. Okay. Dexcom long-term has been the most accurate and stays very accurate for me. So I stay with it because, again, it also works with the system that I'm using and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
If it didn't, I would absolutely be searching for something that works to my benefit. Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing I like about, I might like about Dexcom the most is that Dexcom makes Dexcoms. Abbott makes Freestyles. Like, so big company, small, like department kind of a thing. Like, I like that everybody that shows up at Dexcom every morning, if this thing doesn't work, we all lose our jobs. That's what I like. Right. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, yeah. Yes. They are on one track.
Now, I love that about Omnipod too, by the way. Like, Medtronic makes tools that heart surgeons use.
You know what I mean?
Like, right. If Omnipod stops working, a lot of people in trouble. Yeah. And I'm talking about paying their bills. I like that kind of pressure on people when they go to work. Mm-hmm. Especially when it's around my daughter's, you know, medical supplies. But yeah, I mean, I think the same thing. I think if the Libre works for you, great.
Use it.
Yeah, yeah. If the Dexcom works for you, great. I also think if your insurance covers it, great. Like, there's a lot of, you know, decisions in there.
Which I see a lot online too, again, comments about, well, I prefer this one. I think it might work better, but my coverage or my payout of pocket is a lot less with this one. And it seems to be okay. So this is what I'm going to stick with, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really what the person wants, but from an affordability standpoint, it's what they're using.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, again, I want you using a CGM, whichever one is like, I was telling my brother's got type 2, and I said, hey, Dexcom's coming out with a Stelo. It's, you know, for type 2s. And he said, yeah, I'm going to like cash buy some Libres right now because I can afford them. Until that happens, he's like, then I'm going to look again. I didn't tell him, oh, no, wait a couple of months. Stella's coming this summer. I said, good. Right. I want the data coming. And within a week, type two, by the way, he said to me, Scott, the amount of foods I stopped eating this week just because he's like, I don't even know how to explain it to you. Like, I see that line go up and I go, oh, I'm not going to eat that again. You know, like real, like just that's a valuable thing for him.
Right.
And safety wise, I like you all for safety, especially using insulin, you know, wearing a CGM.
Yes.
So Dexcom has the Dexcom G6 and the G7. Now, here's interesting because visually speaking, Freestyle 2, Freestyle 3 look pretty similar, right?
Correct.
But the form factor of the G7 is now much more like the Libre. Small, thin, round. But the G6 is still old school where you, you know, you have a like a sensor bed and then you click a transmitter into it. It's pretty raised up off your body, maybe a half an inch if I had to guess, like just visually. Are you wearing one right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about a half inch, right?
I wear a G6.
Yeah.
It's about, I would say it's maybe a third. It's not really a half an inch, but I would say it's probably a third of it.
But it's not
inch.
Like having a coin tape to you. It's more like having a, you know, half a AA battery tape to you or something like that. I don't know.
Like, there you go.
Meanwhile, I've worn a G6. I can tell you it takes about 8 minutes for you to forget you're wearing it. You don't even notice it ever again. So, but you're on G6. How come you haven't moved to G7 yet? Do you not want to say?
Do you want my answer?
Well, listen, I'll tell you right now. I moved Arden to G7 right away. It works freaking terrific for her. But Arden's a person who CGMs have always worked really well for her. She can wear them right out to their grace periods. She doesn't lose her graphs don't get wonky. Like it just, they work for her. You know what I mean? So, but what about you?
So I have not tried G7. So I don't have anything to compare to my G6, right? My hesitation in moving to G7 is a lot of the feedback I get from people using G7. Mm-hmm. It is. Now, you've had really good success with it. Arden likes it. The accuracy is there. It's, you know, whatever it's doing with the system that she's using seems to be very compatible and it works well. I have seen that in a lot of people where they're really happy with it. I've also seen about 50% who are not, who complain for the whole first day. There's inaccuracy or the numbers jump up and down, or there's wide variance from finger stick to actual CGM. Or I do think that the compression lows I've heard a lot less issue with G7
I've seen that too.
Compared to G6. Yep. I've seen that cleared up, which is nice to hear. I'm usually a, gosh, this is new. Let's try it in the diabetes realm because I think it's right. I want to keep up.
Listen, I'm no business expert, but the G6 production, the way you produce that and the way I'm assuming they'll phase it out eventually, right?
Like, I'm sure.
Yeah. And also what I like about them, I'm sure this goes for Libre as well too, is a lot of what happens in your CGM is software based. Whether you believe, like, I don't know if people know that or not, but they can tweak the algorithm, tweak the software and make it more accurate. So they get better as they go.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's why I try hard not to listen in the very beginning, because I don't think a company would call it like a, it's not a beta test. I'm sure it's not. But once they get it out on more people and they get more data back, I'm assuming they know it helps them make adjustments, little tweaks to it.
Tune it. Yeah. Exactly. I'm just, I guess I personally am kind of waiting all the tweaks out.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think some people wait and some people jump in. And that, I think that's a difference in how people think about technology. I took you down to the last minute and we didn't talk about the Medtronic sensor.
Oh, let's talk.
Go.
Quick. So yeah, the Medtronic sensor is their Guardian 4, right? Mm-hmm. Is their newest that works with the 780, which is their, you know, most recent algorithm system. I will say that from the small handful of people that I am working with that use it, they really do like it. And having been long-term users of the Medtronic systems, they've even commented in terms of like accuracy, improvement with the algorithm and everything, which is really lovely to hear. Mm-hmm. I'd be curious, quite honestly, to try the new sensor and see how it does work for me, because their earlier versions, as I said, just they were not accurate for me at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've come a long way from, I've had people come on this podcast and call one of their old sensors a harpoon. That's not a fun word.
And that was from the way that it was inserted. 100%. Yeah. So,
But obviously, it's come a long way. I've heard a ton of people using 780G that are very happy with it.
Yes.
And if you're using a Medtronic automated system, you are using the Medtronic Navigator CGM. That's the only thing it works with.
You are. Yeah. And you can use it as, so for those who are MDI, you can actually use their CGM as a standalone. Mm-hmm. They do have just a sensor system too, which again, quite nice. So it pairs along with Dexcom or Libre as a standalone system. You don't have to have a pump to use it with. And again, that's quite nice. I think that their CGM, they have a smart piece to part of their sort of data analysis software that actually does do some analysis of your data, and it helps to give you sort of some feedback on what's being collected by the system and what it's seeing in trends and that kind of stuff. And that's a really wonderful thing.
Right. I'll say this for Medtronic too. They have some other stuff that you might not know about. One thing's a super simple thing called an iPort. And it's just this little port you put on. It's one injection, and then you can put your needle or your pen into that injection. So I think over 3 days, you can wear it, right? So for 3 days, all of your injections can go through the iPort. So you get stuck once for every 72 hours. They have the InPen, which is, an insulin pen that's also paired to an app that gives you a ton of functionality that people want in insulin pumps too. So
yeah, it's kind of like pumping without a pump, really. It gives you all of that calculation part that a pump does without the tubing or anything. You know, it's very, very nice to be able to use.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the iPort, because I think that's an underutilized piece.
I tried to get them to buy ads for it because I thought it was so valuable for people, but I don't think it makes enough money to have a marketing budget. But like, seriously, but iPorts, if you're injecting and you want to limit the amount of actual pokes, like, look into that. It's fantastic, you know? What about accuracy with the Navigator? Do you see, like, with the people, you just as good as everything else at this point?
Yeah, with the with Medtronic's, their four sensor, Guardian four sensor is accurate from the people that have been using it. Seems quite accurate. Like I said earlier, they've even seen improved accuracy, having been long term Medtronic sensor wearers already. Mm-hmm. To say that they notice a difference in accuracy is huge, which means that they've done a nice job of making improvements, honestly.
That's all we want. We want everybody working hard to make these things as good as they can be. And then you guys are all going to, I mean, listen, these companies are going to listen and say, oh, I wish you would have said mine's the best and everything. But I mean, it's not how this works. And I think they know that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, a marketing meeting. You're like, no, say ours, but they're all good. You know, so find the one that works for you and use it. Like, in the end, what I want is for people to be healthy and happy and safe, not.
It's just like a favorite pump. I can give a favorite pump from my personal use.
Yeah.
But from other people, you have to be wide and you have to be able to analyze and say, you know what, you're looking at this one, but based on your lifestyle, based on these factors, I actually think this probably would be better for you.
Yeah. I'll say this. Arden's been using an Omnipod since she was 4. She's about to turn 20. It's a friend to her, to my family. Mm-hmm. If someone made something better, I'd jump in 2 seconds. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to be out for you in the end.
Yes.
You know, so.
Correct.
Do all that. All right, Jenny, you're terrific, awesome. Obviously. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, you're kind. Thank you.
Bye. Jalen is an incredible example of what so many experience living with diabetes. You show up for yourself and others every day, never letting diabetes define you. And that is what the Medtronic Champion community is all about. Each of us is strong, and together, we're even stronger. To hear more stories from the Medtronic Champion community, or to share your own story, visit MedtronicDiabetes.com/juicebox and look out online for the hashtag Medtronic Champion. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy my full conversation with Jalen, coming up in just a moment. A huge thanks to Dexcom for being longtime sponsors of the Juicebox podcast. Dexcom.com/juicebox. Head over there now. Get started today. I'd like to thank AG1 for sponsoring this episode of the Juicebox podcast and remind you that with your first order, you're going to get a free welcome kit, 5 free travel packs, and a year's supply of vitamin D. That's at ag1.com/juicebox. Thinking about getting an algorithm pump? Don't know where to begin? Juiceboxpodcast.com. Up in the menu, click on algorithm pumping, and you're going to get a long list of a lot of episodes that will help you to understand better. Juiceboxpodcast.com. Find algorithm pumping. Thanks for hanging out until the end. Now you're going to hear my entire conversation with Jalen. Don't forget MedtronicDiabetes.com/juicebox or the hashtag MedtronicChampion on your favorite social media platform.
My name is Jalen Mayfield. I am 29 years old. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I am originally from Waynesboro, Mississippi. So I've kind of traveled all over. I've just landed here in the Midwest and haven't left since.
Nice. How old were you when you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes?
I was 14 years old when I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
15 years ago. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. 14 years old. What are you like? Do you remember what grade you were in?
I actually do, because we have like an eighth grade promotion. So I had just had eighth grade promotion. So I was going straight into high school. So it was a summer heading into high school.
Was that particularly difficult going into high school with this new thing?
It was unimaginable. You know, I missed my entire summer. So I was going to a brand new school with, you know, our community. We brought three different schools together. So I was around a bunch of new people that I had not been going to school with. So it was hard trying to balance that while also explaining to people what type 1 diabetes was.
Did you even know, or were you just learning at the same time?
I honestly was learning at the same time. My hometown did not have an endocrinologist. So I was traveling almost over an hour to the nearest, you know, pediatrician, like endocrinologist for children. So, you know, outside of that, I didn't have any type of support in my hometown.
Was there any expectation of diabetes? Does somebody else in your family have type 1?
No, I was the first one to have type 1 in my family.
And do you have children now?
I do not.
No. Do you think you will one day?
Still thinking about it, but right now I've just been traveling, focusing on my career and myself. So,
what do you do? What's your career?
Yeah, so I am a marketing leasing specialist for a student housing company. So we oversee about 90 properties throughout the U.S. So I've been working for them for about 8 years now.
And you get to travel a lot in that job?
Yes, I experience a lot of travel. It's fun, but also difficult, especially with all your type 1 diabetes supplies and all your electronics. So it's a bit of a hassle sometimes. Mm-hmm.
What do you find that you absolutely need with you while you're traveling, diabetes-wise?
I have learned my biggest thing I need is some type of glucose. I have experienced lows, whether that's on a flight, traveling, walking through the airport. And I used to always experience just being nervous to ask for some type of snack or anything. So I just felt, like I needed to always have something on me, and that has made it my travel a lot easier.
Okay. So growing up in this small town, what was your initial challenge during diagnosis, and what other challenges did you find along the way?
Yeah, I think the initial one, I felt isolated. I had no one to talk to that it was experiencing what I was going through. You know, people would say, oh, I know this is like hard for you, but I was like, you really don't. Like, I just felt lonely. I didn't know, you know, people were watching everything I did. It was like, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. I felt like all of my childhood had been, you know, I don't even remember what it was like for life before diabetes at this point, because I felt like that's only thing I could focus on was trying to do a life with type 1 diabetes.
When you found yourself misunderstood, did you try to explain to people, or did you find it easier just to stay private?
I honestly just held back. I didn't really like talking about it. It felt like it was just a repeating record where I was saying things and people weren't understanding it. And I also was still in the process of learning it. So I just, you know, kept it to myself, didn't really talk about it unless I absolutely had to.
Did you eventually find people in real life that you could confide in?
I think I never really got the experience until after getting to college. And then once I graduated college and moving to an even bigger town, that's where I finally found those people where I was like, okay, there's a lot of other people that have type 1 diabetes. And, you know, there's a community out there which I had never experienced before.
Is college where you met somebody with diabetes for the first time, or just where you met more people with different ways of thinking?
So I met my first person with diabetes, actually my freshman year of high school. There was only one other person, and he had had it since he was a kid, like young, since we were like maybe born, mm-hmm. or like right after that time frame. So that was the only other person I knew until I got to college and I started meeting other people. I was a member of the band and I was an RA. So I was like, okay, there's a small handful of people also at my university. But then once I moved to St. Louis, and a lot of my friends I met were like med students and they were young professionals. And that's where I started really getting involved with one of my really close friends to this day. He was also type 1 diabetic. And I was like, that's who introduced me to all these different types of communities and technologies, and which is really what helped jumpstart my learning more with type 1 diabetes.
Do you think, I mean, there was that one person in high school, but you were young. Do you really think you were ready to build a relationship and around diabetes, or did you even know the reason why that would be important at the time?
I didn't. You know, I honestly didn't think about it. I just was like, oh, there's another person in my class that's kind of going through the same thing as I am, but they've also had it a lot longer than I have. So they've kind of got it down. They don't really talk about it. And I was like, well, I don't really have much to connect with them. Connect with them on.
Yeah, no. So now once your world expands, as far as different people, different backgrounds, different places in college, you see the need to connect in real life, but there's still only a few people, but there's still value in that, right?
Correct.
What do you think that value was at the time?
I think it was just what making me feel like I was just a normal person. I just wanted that. And I needed to know that, like, you know, there was other people out there with type 1 diabetes experiencing the same type of, you know, thoughts that I was having.
When were you first introduced to the Medtronic Champions community?
Yeah. So about 2 years ago, I was, you know, I was looking around and I stumbled upon the Medtronic community. And I was like, this is something I really, really, I kind of need. You know, I said, all throughout these years, I was, you know, afraid to show my pump. I would wear long sleeves, like didn't want people to see my CGMs because I didn't want people to ask me questions. And, you know, I just felt so uncomfortable. And then I noticed seeing these people really in the Medtronic community, just they embraced it. You could see them. They weren't afraid to show it. And that was something I was really looking forward to.
How is it knowing that your diabetes technology is such an important part of your health and your care and having to hide it? What did it feel like to have to hide that diabetes technology? And how did it feel to be able to kind of let it go?
I refused to go anywhere. I would run to the bathroom. I just didn't want to do it in public because I felt like people were watching me. And that was just one of the hardest things I was trying to overcome. You know, I was fresh out of college, going into the young professional world. So, you know, going out on work events and things like that, I just didn't think to have it out because I was so afraid. But then once I did start, you know, embracing it and showing it, that's when the curiosity came. And it was actually genuine questions and people wanting to know more about the equipment that I'm on and how does this work and what does this mean and things like that, it kind of inspired me because I was like, okay, people actually do want to understand what I'm experiencing with type 1 diabetes.
What did you experience when the internet came into play? And now suddenly as easy as a hashtag and you can meet all these other people who are living with diabetes as well. Can you tell me how that is either different or valuable, I guess, compared to meeting a few people in real life?
Absolutely. I think if you look back from when I was first diagnosed to now, I would have never thought of, like, you know, searching anything for someone with type 1 diabetes. And now it's like, it's all I see. You know, you can easily search Medtronic Champions and you see people that pop up and you're like, wow, look at all this content. And I think that's something that kind of just motivates me, and which is how I've kind of came out of my shell and started embracing more and posting more on my social media with about, you know, how I live with type 1 diabetes. And I think that's something that I hope can inspire everyone else.
What was it like having more personal, intimate relationships in college with type 1?
I think it was kind of hard to explain, you know, just for example, like no one really understands like what a low is. And I think that was a very hard thing for me to explain. Like it can happen in any moment and I'm sweating. I'm just really like not all there. And I'm trying to explain like, hey, this is what's going on. I need your help. And I think that was something that was hard for me to, you know, I did talk to people about it. So when this happened, they were like, oh, you know, what's going on with you? I'm like, I'm actually a type 1 diabetic. Yeah. This is what's going on. I need your help.
What about once you've had an experience like that in front of someone, was it always bonding or did it ever have people kind of step back and be maybe more leery of your relationship?
After I would tell someone I had type 1 diabetes after some type of event or anything, like, they were kind of more upset with me that I didn't tell them up front, because they were like, you know, I care about you as a person. I would have loved to known this about you. It's not anything you should have to hide from me. And I think that was a lot of the realization that I was going through with a lot of people.
Okay. Let me ask you this. So now we talked about what it was like to be low and to have that more kind of emergent situation. But what about when your blood sugar has been high or stubborn and you're not thinking correctly, but it's not as obvious maybe to you or to them?
Yeah. So I go through my same experiences when I have high blood sugars. You know, I can tell, like, from my coworkers, for example, I didn't really talk to, you know, I'll backtrack. When I visit multiple sites for work, I usually don't announce it. And so sometimes I'm working throughout the day. I might have snacked, forgot to take some insulin, and my blood sugar is running high and I'm a little bit more irritable. I'm all over the place. And I'm like, let me stop. Hey guys, I need to take some insulin. I'm sorry. I didn't tell you guys I'm a diabetic. So you may be wondering why I'm kind of just a little bit snippy, you know? So I like to make sure I do that now going forward, because that's something I noticed and it was kind of hindering me in my career, because I was, you know, getting irritable because I'm working nonstop and I'm forgetting to take a step back and focus on my diabetes.
Right. Hey, with the advent of new technology like Medtronic CGM and other diabetes technology, can you tell me how that's improved your life and those interactions with people?
Yeah, I can. I feel confident knowing that it's working in the background. As someone, and I've always advocated said it, I have been someone that's really bad with counting my carbs. So sometimes I kind of undershoot it because I'm scared, but it allows me to just know that, hey, it's got my back if I forget something. And I think that allows me to have a quick lunch, and then I'm able to get back into the work day, because it's such a fast paced industry that I work in. So sometimes it is easy to forget. And so I love that I have that system that's keeping track of everything for me.
Let me ask you one last question. When you have interactions online with other people who have type 1 diabetes, what social media do you find the most valuable for you personally? Like, what platforms do you see the most people and have the most good interactions on?
Yeah, I've had tremendous interactions on Instagram. That's where I've kind of seen a lot of other diabetics reach out to me and ask me questions. I've commented and been like, hey, you're experiencing this too. But I've recently also been seeing TikToks and, you know, finding on that side of it, I didn't, you know, see the videos and the fun videos. And I'm like, I would love to do stuff like that, but I just never have the courage. So I'm seeing people make just the fun engagement videos now, which I love, you know, really bringing that awareness to diabetes.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? Maybe you don't know this, but there's some sort of an age cutoff somewhere where there is an entire world of people with type 1 diabetes existing on Facebook that don't go into TikTok or Instagram and vice versa.
Yeah.
And I do think it's pretty broken down by, you know, when that platform was most popular for those people by age. But your younger people, I'm acting like I'm 100 years old, but younger people seem to enjoy video more.
Yes, I think it's just because it's something you see. And so it's like, and I think the one thing, and obviously it's a big stereotype around diabetes, is you don't look like you have diabetes. And that's something I always faced. And so when I see other people that are just, you know, normal everyday people, and I'm like, they have type 1 diabetes just like me. They're literally living their life, having fun. That's just something you want to see it, because you don't get to see people living their everyday lives with diabetes. And I think that's something I've really enjoyed.
Yeah. What are your health goals? When you go to the endocrinologist and you make a plan for the next few months, what are you hoping to achieve, and where do you struggle and where do you see your successes?
I'll be honest, I was not someone who was, as you know, involved in my diabetes. I wasn't really focused on my health. And that was something that, you know, you go into an endocrinologist and you get these results back and it's not what you want to hear. It makes you nervous. It makes you scared. And so I personally, for myself, you know, I was like, this is my chance to change. I know there's people that are living just like me, everyday lives, and they can keep their A1Cs and their blood sugars under control. How can I do this? So I go in with, you know, I would like to see it down a certain number of points each time. I would love for my doctor to be like, hey, I see you're entering your carbs. I see you're, you know, you're not having lows. You're not running high too often. That's my goal. And I've been seeing that. And that's what motivates me every time I go to the endocrinologist, where I don't dread going. It's like an exciting visit for me.
So you like to set a goal for yourself and then for someone to acknowledge it, to give you kind of that energy to keep going for the next goal.
Yeah, I feel as a type 1 diabetic for me, and it's just, it's a lot to balance. It's a hard journey.
Yeah.
And so I want someone, when I go in, I want to be able to know, like, hey, I see what you're doing. Let's work together to do this. You don't want to be put down, like, you know, you're doing horrible. It's just, it's not going to motivate you, because you're already fighting a tough battle.
Right.
So just having that motivation and acknowledging the goods and also how we can improve, that's what really has been the game changer for me in the past 2 years.
Jalen, I appreciate you spending this time with me. This was terrific. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
If you enjoyed Jalen's story, check out medtronicdiabetes.com/juicebox. If you're ready to level up your diabetes care, the Diabetes Pro Tip Series from the Juice Box Podcast focuses on simple strategies for living well with type 1. The Pro Tip episodes contain easy-to-understand concepts that will increase your knowledge of how insulin works and so much more. My daughter has had an A1C between 5.2 and 6.4 since 2014 with zero diet restrictions, and some of those years include her in college. This information works for children, adults, and for the newly diagnosed, and for those who have been struggling for years. Go to juiceboxpodcast.com and click on Diabetes Pro Tip in the menu, or head over to episode 1000 of the Juice Box Podcast to get started today with the episode Newly Diagnosed, We're Starting Over. And then continue right on to episode 1025. That's the entire Pro Tip series, episode 1000 to 1025. The episode you just heard was professionally edited by Wrong Way Recording, wrongwayrecording.com.